Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and Hotep. Welcome, welcome to the all-new feature show, Mind, Soul, Body, and Spirit, dealing with Oracle Divination Network. This is your host. I am Omi Inka 7, live here on the radio station. And we are talking about what is necessary for a black association to open a private school. And it's been out in the media, ladies and gentlemen. It's about time. And I'm also going to be talking about some headliners also. I'll be talking about one of our freshman legislators, Ihan Omar, and how they have smeared her name in the social media, talking about how she's an anti-Semitic. And we'll be briefly talking about that as well. So let me get on with the show. What is it necessary for a black association to open a private school? Now, there's been talk about one of our fine psychiatrists who has decided to throw his hat in the ring to start an all-boys boarding school. Now, I know you've heard me talk about it before, and I want to address the African-American community on this topic, because they are having so much to say. They've got so much to say right now, and Omi wants to say something as well. And I want to speak on behalf of the underdogs that are out there that have found it necessary to formalize a group, a movement, to set up an all-black boarding school for black boys. Now, I don't know of too many other people out there that are on a mission to do that. There have been many black schools set up in the area, in the choice section. However, they're still connected to government schools. But we're talking about a private school that gets no funding whatsoever from the choice funding, nor from the neighborhood block grants, that gets no government funding, that are completely on their own. They can't even use a choice voucher to pay for this education. Now, I know that previously there was voucher money that would pay for those choice programs who actually were designed by the government, but they had their own curriculum. During the time that I was involved in setting up schools, we were setting up choice schools that were connected to the government, but we were able to produce our own curriculum. Now, we are coming up on a time when people are not actually connected to the government and they are out there on their own. They're making a venture out on their own, looking at trying to come up with their own money. And in a few minutes, we are going to talk about how we can assist these organizations by giving them planning instructions and by also giving them a lead way so that they will succeed and the community will support them. Hold tight. We're going to go to commercial and we'll be back at you in a second. Hold tight. Hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. All right. He's all happening. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome to the all-new featured show, Mind, Soul, Body, and Spirit. And today on our roster, we're going to be looking at just what is necessary for a Black association to open a private school. And we're going to get into our topic in a second. But before we get into our topic, I want to bring you some breaking news about a freshman legislature. The Muslim lady by the name of Ihan Omar. She's being smeared in the social media news for being an anti-Semite. And they are actually causing this false information to get out because of how she answered a tweet that was sent out. There was a tweet that was sent out basically making threats about how they were going to attack her. Because of her belief, she believes that there is an effort for Israel lobbyists as well as Saudi Arabia who have captured Washington in their lobbying tactics by trying to get donations to influence the congressional lobbyists, to influence them and basically trying to get people to donate money to their cause. And the Israel lobbyists and the Saudi Arabia lobbyists are accusing Mrs. Omar of being an anti-Semitist. And it says that she feels that the lobby behind it would smear and corrupt the congressman. And there was a law that went out and that was approved and passed, and it says. Penalize support of the boycott, putting the economy of foreign nations over the first administration's rights over American citizens. And basically, this was a boycott against the support. And this boycott is going to allow the people to actually prevent anyone from making support issues. So Mrs. Omar is really standing out to talk about how she is not an anti-Semitic and how just answering the tweets of Glenn Greenwald, who wrote her a tweet, and she answered it, which highlighted the Republic leader, Kevin McCarthy, in to punish, who wanted to punish Omar and the congressional woman. And she feels that Israel lobbyists and Saudi Arabia has captured Washington, D.C. by gaining momentum and influencing them with their donations. In other words, she thinks they're trying to buy them. And she herself knows that she is not anti-Semitic, and I want to know what you think about it, and have you been following the news? Because I think she was just targeted because she is a Muslim and she has something to say against these anti-Semitic people who don't want any lobbying to, who, I mean, the government supports of the boycott, and she wants to speak out against it. What do you think about it, and what are your views on it? This is just a little tidbit. This is not our topic for the evening, but we wanted to just bring that out there because we're concerned about minorities who are freshmen in the legislature who are not given a fair shake, and she's one of them. She's just starting out, and she has to hold her platform and in every area. Hold tight. Hello? Yeah, I was calling you to tell you to call into my radio station. Okay. All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. And we want to make sure that we get that information out there to you. If you have any views on Mrs. Omar and her position as a legislator, please do call in and give us your opinion on that. This is one of the hot topics that is out there, and our phone lines are open, and the number here is 760-539-3247. Please do call in if you have any viewpoints. Now, we're going to get on with the headliner of our afternoon show, what is necessary for a black association to open a private school. And as I wrote, let's talk about what is required in order to open a private boarding school. How do we assist the strong that steps out front that decides to do this? How do we be of assistance to the strong? What do we offer? Why is it that we cannot have faith in one another? Why do we lose that faith? And what is it going to take for us to support one another? How do we set up a parent group to help organizations who want to erect private schools all over our community? This is our episode number 6. I'd like for you to join us by calling in and, participating in our conversation. Once again, our phone lines are 760-539-3247. I am your illustrious host for the evening, Omienka 7. So please do come in and join us. And before we get in on that topic, we are going to see what's out there that we can talk about and play some music right before we get to the topic. Listen next for the commercial, and this is called Beach. And we're back. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the all-new feature show, Mind, Soul, Body, and Spirit. This is Oracle Divination Network coming at you. And thank you so much for joining us today. We are hoping that you will enjoy yourself today. Now, this is our sixth episode, and we like to talk about how we can be of assistance to helping these various different schools that would like to set up their schools and are private. What can we do to help our private schools set up their private schools in our community? We're talking about black schools, and we're not necessarily talking about a boarding school. I, for one, don't believe that we have the type of staff to man a boarding school. If there were going to be a school, I would make the suggestion that we start off slow and start off with our school where it is it's an 8-to-5 school where the mother brings the child in and the child stays just from 8 to 5, and then he goes home, and we have busing to assist those families. Now, just having busing is enough. It's more than what they can financially handle than to be responsible for boarding school around the clock. And we really have to look at this, because having a boarding school around the clock means more staff. And you have to have extracurricular activities after school hours. And that's another whole school. People run some programs just on the basis of after school programs. And they start with the after school program sometimes, and then they venture into a full day program. And then down the road, after they ran a full day program, then they think of a boarding school. Because I can't begin to tell you all of the problems that you're going to interface with in a boarding school, just like being in a home school. Now, let me back up a little bit and tell you a little bit about what I'm talking about. We are soliciting for those people to call in. You can call in right now at 760-539-3247 is the number to be exact. And we're soliciting for those parent groups who have already formalized themselves and who are supporting a potential full-time all-day school. Now, I don't know if you know this, but people think you got to have all certified teachers to work in a private school. That is not necessary, and there are a lot of schools banking on recruiting teachers who have credentials and who have years of experience behind them. Well, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you somewhere in the neighborhood of between $40,000 and on up, because teachers are not cheap. And when you're first starting, you want to keep your budgets down. 9 times out of 10, you might want to get teachers that are credentialed in early childhood development who have a CDA. It is still a credential, and they still have gone through training and gotten someone's endorsement, opposed to you just getting someone with no certification. Now, I have seen women without certification become trained in the CDA. Now, if that's what you're proposing, I'm all for that. But it is not a good idea to just start your school off with non-trained people. If you have trained people without the credential, send them back to school so you can tell your parent that you have teachers that are enrolled in credential programs. But don't just start a school without any background of those teachers who have any credentials behind them. If they have a number of years of experience behind them, like 30 years or 20 years, then yes, you can bring them on, but only with the concept that you are going to put them into training classes and allow them to train on their lunch hour working towards their credential. Okay? Now, let's talk about the staff. See, you're going to have to interview all these staff members, And you're going to have aides in addition to teachers. So for whatever reason you think that you can get away with just a teacher, in the lower grades, you're going to need an aide for every one of those teachers in the preschool, in the kindergarten area. So what if you had two kindergarten classes? So you're going to diddle that for the assistant. So you're going to have to maximize your teaching recruitment at the lower age. So why not start your school from preschool to sixth grade? Or maybe even start it from preschool to third grade, because you can get the certified CDA teachers to teach preschool to third grade. And then every year add a different grade to the school year. And that way you can bring on more skilled teachers for the upper grade. But as long as they're in the lower grades, you can bring in CDA candidates who have their, who are going for their CDA credential or who already have it. But I've seen a lot of schools that have no certified teachers in them, and some of them have fared well. But I know that eventually they're going to run into a problem that they cannot solve because they've had no exposure to training, no traditional training. So therefore, it's very vital that you look at bringing in a nurse that's fully trained, bringing in a social worker that's fully trained, and possibly a psychiatrist. But because you don't have the money for a psychiatrist, you can have a psychiatrist that comes in periodically that does assessments for your school. You first of all want to do assessment on all of the children, making sure that you have records on these children, and continue with your own assessment to assess their academics and to assess you want to know where they are psychologically, and you also want to know where they are academically. So you want to give some type of altitude test so you can determine where they are in their math and in their reading. So you have all of this documented, and you don't leave anything to guess. And here is where you are going to formalize children that may be grouped together. Your 3, 4, and 5-year-olds can all be in the same classroom with an early childhood credential teacher. And then your 6 and 7-year-olds can all be in the same classroom with one of your certified early childhood lead teachers. Now, you're going to need a good curriculum, and you're going to have to shop around for a good curriculum because you must advertise your curriculum and allow the parents to come in and manipulate the curriculum and to test drive the curriculum, because this is what you're going to be selling the school. You're going to be selling the community on your school's curriculum, because it's one thing to have a building, but you got to have something going on in that building with a curriculum that is to die for. And curriculums just don't get up and walk by themselves. You're going to have to get people in there to do hands-on familiarity, how to manipulate the curriculum, how to implement it, and you're going to need a curriculum specialist to come in. It'll be worth your money to hire someone like me, a curriculum specialist, to go from class to class and trying to teach the teacher how to utilize the curriculum and giving the teacher new methodologies for implementing and engaging the children. And that curriculum person is going to get those teachers up to par, because they might be a little dusty in their delivery of material. And if a child needs to have remediation, you have to teach that teacher how to reteach those lessons and how to do language learning, the new language learning, and how to take time out for each child to individually read. I know it's old-fashioned, and they've said, no, we don't want to have choral reading. Well, they need to have choral reading because you got to see how they read out aloud, and that practice has got to be across the curriculum. It's very vital that you not only look at your staff and look at your ratios of man to female, and you must remember, if you're going to have fourth graders, you must have male teachers. All of your fourth grade boys in the school should be given over to the male teachers so that they can do their magic on those male boys, for the mere reason that down the road you're going to have team teaching with a male and a female, so that this child that is a male child will have some exposure to being taught by a male teacher before fifth grade. Now, mind you now, you have parent support. You must make it mandated that the parent at least contributes 20 hours per year for volunteering, whether it be in the kitchen, in the parenting room, or in the teacher's room as a support person. It's very vital that you map out all of your actual holidays, and even when that child is off on holiday, you have volunteers come up and do preparation for the school year and get things on the go. There's always something that needs to be done. Now, in the meantime, when looking at your curriculum, you look at what is the most easiest flowing curriculum. One of the curriculums I like to introduce with traditional curriculum is Montessori, because in the lower grades, when Montessori environment is set up properly, you can get away with having more children in the class along with an aide, because you're only introducing the information to the child, but you're having sessions with the child on their phonemic awareness and on their phonetics and understanding how to encode and decode, and you're working one-on-one with them. But your other areas, you introduce the child to the material, put it on a shelf, and then when a child would like to go over and to interact with it, you have one of your aides go over and assess the child as they interact and see if they properly interact with it, and then you score it on a clipboard to indicate that you've documented that that child is ready to go on to other levels. Now, we also are teaching to mastery, so you're going to have certain tests that you're going to be doing throughout the semester, and the children are going to have spring testing, quarterly testing, and you're going to have to produce some documentation of tests, unfortunately. Whether it be when you assess, it could be through portfolio assessments where you look at their best work and you put it in their portfolio. So when their parents come, you sit down with their parents and pull out their portfolio of their best work. And you can also have objective tests where the child is going to be taking multiple choice tests and you document what they know and what they don't know. And these tests are very crucial because we don't want to lose the validity of the test. So therefore, you cannot make it bogus where they're exposed to the answer because there will be no validity in the test. But it's very vital that we understand that black schools are finding out IQ tests were very bogus and biased. And we have to determine if we're going to continue to perpetuate their bias usage or come up with some other ways to assess. And you must understand, you have to make a decision, is this school going to be year-round where the children ticks their vacation time and the parents schedule their vacation time, or is it going to be on a traditional route where they're all off on the summer? Now, that's something for you to decide in the school if you are going to implement that. And one of the ways that you can keep the school going and have the children schedule their vacations at different times, opportune times for them, then that might be a goal for you. But if it's not a goal for the parent, you need to have plenty of parent PTA meetings to discuss these things and get everyone on board for being committed to being a part of PTA and extend them their responsibilities and let them vote on what they want to be a part of. But you definitely have got to have an active parent group, one where if they're delivering their preschoolers to you a half a day, it is understood that they will stay while the child is in class and they will go to a parenting class. And you will do the early intervention parenting for these parents because your parents are going to be your best resources. As long as you're training them and teaching them and putting your spirit in them, they are going to know what to do at home with that child when it comes to homework. But if you keep the mother on the outside and not understanding what's going on in the classroom. She won't know what to do with Johnny or Sherry, and Sherry and Johnny won't ever have their work signed off on, and she won't continue the homework and the good work you're doing with them. But now, let's go on to societies and organizations. Who are these organizations that are out there who want to build these private schools? Well, there are many of them. There are many of the parent groups who have formalized themselves and decided to incorporate themselves as a non-for-profit or sole proprietor and have a group organization that's an advocacy group that supports schools and support them to the point of helping them to establish and set their schools up. But we're going to go to the commercial right now and take a break. We're going to be here for a while, so we're going to take a break, and I still want you. Hold tight. Here it comes. Welcome back, family. Thank you so much for joining me on this occasion. And we are talking about what is necessary for a black association to open a private school. And we've been breaking down and laying out some of those areas that are necessary. Our phone lines are open. Our number here is 760-539-3247. Please call in with your comments. We are focusing in on the families today and how can we help those black families who have failing schools in the community and whose public schools are shutting down as we speak, and who are in need of some private schools and who are in need of those organizations and groups who have parent support groups who can come in and set up these private schools. But they can't do it alone, and they must have the support of the community. And that means you, parent. That means you coming in with your support and working with the PTA group and committing your 20 hours to a particular area in the school. And it's very vital that you should know that all schools that set up don't always fare well. Sometimes they end up having to close their doors, and that's a misfortune. And we want to say to those out there who have set up schools before, if you've set up schools before in the choice area and you're in an organization that knows all about the initial onset of laying the foundations for setting up a school, call in and let us know. You can be of some assistance to us. Call in at 760-539-3247. I am your illustrious Omiyinka, here hosting the show on Oracle Divination Network. We'll be coming up on our 10th year in May, the 19th, I think it is, and we'll be celebrating hearty in this room. So we will definitely be inviting you to come along, and we are focusing in on mind, soul, body, and spirit. We're going to be focusing in on our marriage clinic, talking to a marriage counselor about how to keep your good thing uptight, and reunification of those who have divorced and who would like to get back together and remarry. Isn't that going to be something grand? We're going to be talking about reordering the marriage vows for the 21st century for the African American for the second time around now. And wouldn't it be great that we invite you to be a part of that? We are going to be doing a lot of great things this year. We're back, and we took a sabbatical for a while, and I was off doing many other things and on many other shows where I really had to put down Blog Talk for a minute. But we built it up for so long. It's one of the longest running shows that I have done for 10 years this May. And I want to make sure that we do it proper-like. We're going to be focusing more on looking at mind, soul, body, and spirit. The first couple of episodes, we talked a little bit about looking at our health, wellness. And we're going to be talking about yoga, how we can use yoga to help build our bodies, and how those teachers can get involved in getting credential in yoga and being a yoga instructor and getting their continuing education hours in yoga and using them to renew their licensing. Yes, we're going to be bringing in a yoga expert to talk to us about yoga and how we can better our aging bodies and stay in tune to exercising without doing that high-pressure exercise, jumping up and down. So I've always liked yoga, and I can, you know, pretty much stay with the group on yoga. It's very slow, and I like that. So we're going to be talking about that in the weeks to come. We're also going to have a marriage and family therapist come on to talk to us about what it is that she does to help the family. We're going to be having Dr. Kermit come back again where we talk about looking at, well, Dr. Judge Kermit, we're going to be talking about being a co-parenting facilitator and how to co-parent your children after divorce, how to co-parent them and parent them alone. And focusing in on that topic, we're going to be laying down relationships, how to engage in relationship. We're going to be looking at divorce and marriage too, and marriage ceremonies. We're going to be talking about all those things. So you definitely do want to join us. Today we're talking about setting up schools and how does organizations set up school? What do they need to set these schools up and how can we help them? We are now trying to get in this chat room, but for some reason we can't. And I'm going to try this one more time. They won't let us get in there. I think I got a flash that I have to work on. And I'll probably work on that some other time. This is not a time to do technician work, so our actual chat rooms are not open right now, unfortunately. Once again, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us. I am your Omi Inka, live here as your illustrious hostess for the evening, and we are talking about how can we assist those associations who are setting up these independent private schools. We know that there are a number of school districts who have a takeover, a hostile takeover with private industry taking over their school, their public schools, and they can do nothing about it because financially they don't have the funds to run the school. And some of the parents are going to those private institutions and they're getting hired even without a licensing or credential. So I guess these private businessmen are going to remake the teachers, send them back to school, give them their own on-the-job in-house training. Now, that's possible. There are a number of old school teachers who have been trained on the job who've never went through a traditional program. And if you ask me, it's possible because in the South, most of our schools were made up from seniors training other young people how to be a teacher. And they went under their tutelage. And we're going to talk about that. What is best? Is it best to go through a traditional college program, or can we get on-the-job training for how to become a good teacher? Now, once again, if you're an association and you are setting up to run an after-school program or you want to build your parents' group so that you can gain momentum and set up a shop to own your own school, we're on the lines now, and you can call in at 760-539-3247. I am your illustrious Omiyinka 7 here, live, getting ready for our 10th anniversary in May of this year. So please do come out and support us. I want to say that we're going to go to a station identification, and we're going to be playing The Bluest Stars. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon on a Saturday. I know there's various places that you could be, but you chose to be here with me. And we're talking about what is necessary for a black association to open a private school. I would imagine that that private association who is looking to set up a school would have to have some sort of licensing for that building that they're going to erect, whether they be renting a space or whether they erect their own new brick-and-mortar building. 9 times out of 10, because of the budget, the funds that have been collected will go more for paying for the building than anything else. So one would probably want to rent a building to start off. It would not be a good idea to buy a building the first year because you're locked in. You don't know all the features and the unsettledy of some of the things in the building that might need to be overhauled, like your furnace, your water heater, and your electricity, whether or not you need to have the building rewired. And if you don't have that checked out by a technician, you might be walking into a trap. You might be walking into a trap because your building needs to be gutted. It may have asbestos in it that you don't know about. So you hire some technicians to come in to look for asbestos and to look for faulty wiring, to look for furnace problems, water heater problems. And then before you buy it, you have a walkthrough and you have your electrician and your special people to come in to examine all of those features. And if they should find something wrong, you have to make that bid predicated upon the repairs of what they found. Otherwise, you're walking into a trap. You can be stuck with all of those damaging tools and electricity, and you don't want to incur any more expenses. And so for those of you who are out there now who are engaged in looking for a building, you need to have a crew, and you need to have your electrician go with you when you go out. And this is how we did it. We took an electrician with us who examined the wiring, who examined the water heater, the furnace, and then he gave us an assessment of what he thought was wrong and if it was repairable. If it's irreparable, then we definitely have to back away from that house or that building. You just don't move into a building because it is erected. Now, and you don't rule out houses either. There are many churches and houses that you can look at that can be set up just like a boarding school or just like a school. And you do, and if you want to lease it, do a short-term lease and see if you can renew it after you've had a chance to live in the building and see if things will need to be repaired over 6 months. And if they cannot repair them, then you know you have to vacate. But you buy a building like you're buying your home. You go in with a team of people, just like a realtor has to expose everything that's wrong with that house. You are going to need someone to expose to you what is exactly wrong with that building. And a lot of times you don't want to buy the first year. You want to rent. And as you rent, after 6 months, you can determine if this is the property you actually want to buy. And by then, you let the money sit in the bank to accumulate interest while you're making your monthly payments. But then you have to understand that just going into a building saying, this is it, you don't have a trained eye for what to look for. You must bring someone in that is highly skilled, that knows what they're looking for. And it is not about your space now. It's about if you propose to grow and advance and need more space, is it expandable? Can you expand in this building? Do you have enough centers where you have your reading lab and your library? And you're going to have committees of parents to go out to get donations of books to build your library, and you're going to have to also make sure that you have created an entity for your business. This is a business after all, you know that, right? You're going to have a business set up with an entity, whether you're a sole proprietor, whether you're an LLC, whether you're a corporation, you have to have your entity set up, and you must go online to request your EIN number with the government. The government also asks you to supply them with the name of the company, while you also going to the bank to open up a bank account with that name of the corporation or company on the bank account, along with an address. You're going to need an address. Now, a lot of people say, oh, you don't want a P.O. box number, but there are some agencies that can sell you addresses until you get your building, okay? A lot of times they urge you against using a P.O. box number, and you might want to go online and pay for you an actual address, a physical address of some sort where you can pick your mail up. But it's very vital that you have the name of your company, and then you have your EIN number, the name of the company, and your entity, whether you're going LLC, whether you're going C-Corp, S-Corp, or whether you're going sole proprietor. And that EIN number allows you to hire W-2s because you have to look at payroll. Have you structured your bank account so that payroll can cut a check to every one of your employees, saving you the time and trouble so that now your employees are on payroll and they get a check on a weekly or biweekly or monthly basis? That all has to be done in order for you to consider yourself an association of a school. If those things are not done, I don't care how many times you look at a building, you will find that you're inadequately preparing your families for something that is not going to happen. Those things have to be done on a timely basis. You also have to go downtown and register your business. And then you have to go and get a business license because you're going to be operating in some building and a business license. And a number of people, if they go with the entity of an LLC or being in C-Corp, they have an administrator to administrate their actual bylaws and put their bylaws together, their mission statement. And the mission statement has to be put in place in the bylaws so that you have a quorum when you come together with your board, that your board can be operating. You can take minutes, and the minutes have to be recorded. Now, I know I'm going into a lot of details, but some people might not know that this is the makeup of a business. And once you register with the government, someone's going to have to report your actual funding and what you are actually making from the school. It has to be recorded, and it becomes public knowledge. And you must understand that after you set up your incorporation, you set up your bylaws, and if you decide you want to sell stock, if you're a private entity, you want to sell stock, if you want people to donate, you can set it up under a membership. It all depends. You need to have an attorney to structure your business. It's very vital. That has to happen before you become a school and before you become an association, because you've got to be able to negotiate with these realtors, and they're going to want to see that you are a legitimate corporation. Now, you can also be a partnership as well, but nevertheless, it's very vital that you just don't go out haphazardly saying that you're an association, you have no understanding of what you're looking for in the way of a building, and you have no money in the bank. You must have money in the bank. And when you are taking other people's donation, whether it be under crowdfunding or GoFundMe or PayPal, it must be structured appropriately, because you must understand that under GoFundMe, they take a certain amount of your money, and if I'm not mistaken, under crowdfunding too. So you have to find a way for those people to document getting those donations to you, because you must understand you cannot be bogusly collecting these donations and don't have a structure where it's going into your company's account and not into your personal account. You do not co-mingle your personal account funds with your business fund. And you must have a checking account and keep good records of that checking account, because you are going to have to be accountable for every dime that you took in for your organization. And if you're a non-for-profit, you must go and make sure that you have a non-for-profit license and that you have been approved for a non-for-profit. But it's very vital that we understand that we just can't say we are proud owner of a building and we have no structure set up for our entity so that we can funnel the money into the right place. Otherwise, you get into some tax trouble, and that's what you want to avoid from. Now, once again, I've said a whole mouthful, and I'm waiting for those phone lines to come on. You can start working it now and let those phone lines come on. Our phone line number here is 760-539-3247, and we're in the air at this particular time inviting you to come out and work it, work it, work it. Come out, and I'll be brief. I'm going to just give you a little bit of my poetry today.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
Blog Talk Radio.
call me anytime. You got to call me. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. And I don't want to leave you lonely. You gotta make me change my mind.
I interrupt these airwaves to bring you a special feature, Creating from Within, by calling alchemy to you, calling forth the alchemy in you. This special show...
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard, like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming, and I'm loud. Roar!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, just got off on another subject there. How's everyone doing this evening on this Saturday afternoon? Our phone lines are open, and you can call in at 760-539-3247. Call in if you're out there and you would like to discuss the topic that we're talking about. We're talking about how we can help our associations to come up with a way to organize themselves so that they can get their schools off the ground. Okay, and I am typing a letter. Here is... Okay, just hold tight for 1 minute here. Okay, just be patient with me. We will be back in gear here. 3, 2. Okay. Okay, how's everyone doing this evening? And I hope you're not sour at me for that. Stay tuned, we'll be right back at you. Back, ladies and gentlemen. How's everyone doing this afternoon on a Saturday? You've got your illustrious Omiinka 7 live coming at you as a host, and we're talking about what is necessary for a black association to open a private school. And we just talked briefly about the structure of the school, making sure you have an entity, making sure you have a bank account, making sure you've called the IRS to register the name of your school, and getting an EIN number is very vital, because that EIN number, you need that EIN number when you open up your bank account. And if you want to put the bank account in the EIN's number, so you don't commingle your own personal banking with your school's banking. You make sure that it's separate and in the school's name. And you want to make sure you have a lawyer. So the lawyer will help you determine which entity is best for you, whether it's sole proprietor, LLC, C-Corp, S-Corp, partnership. Your attorney can tell you what's the best thing for your tax structure. And you also, since you're going to have teachers and aides and janitors working with you and social workers and therapists, you are going to put them on the payroll. So you definitely have to have a structured payment plan where you're actually cut a check, and all of your employees, whether they be on a weekly basis, biweekly, or monthly, you have to structure that and go into the bank and sit down with the banker. Now, you're going to need an administrator for your corporation, if you have a corporation, somebody that can pay your business license and help create your articles of incorporation, because you have to have board meetings, and you have to come together with your board, and you have to accumulate people to sit on your board. And as you sit on the board, you have to have staff meetings and board meetings, and you have to record all of these meetings because they have to be registered. So all of that has to be done by somebody. You just need to delegate it. You don't have to try to wear all the hats as the director and executive. The executor has to be able to hire. So you're gonna have to be able to sit down with a team of people to interview these teachers. You cannot do the interviewing by yourself. It's a whole process where you have to bring in someone to sit on your board. So when you do these roundtable interviews in person, they can give their input so that you can make a collective decision about who's in and who's out. It's very vital that you should understand that you can take some of these volunteers and you can put them in training classes the first 8 weeks of training to give them a foundation to teach your lower-level children, and preferably so they can go and get a degree in the CDA non-traditional route. You can use those teachers to teach from preschool all the way up to third grade, and it's perfectly okay. And you can make sure that those classrooms are being divided amongst age groups. You can also look at your curriculum, determining if you want to have a traditional curriculum or a Montessori curriculum or both. But it's very vital that you that are associations who have set yourself up to be a team, you must understand that you must have people with various different specialties behind them. Because you're going to call on all these people like your social worker and your speech and hearing therapist. A lot of testing has to go on. You can't assume that the records that they bring with them are up to date. You are going to have to set up a testing venue of specialists who can come in and do the assessment of these younger children and assessing them to put them in appropriate classes. And you definitely have to look at having not only a preschool setting for half a day, but an all-day kindergarten. Most parents are pushing their schools to have an all-day kindergarten. Now, you can have a developmental kindergarten where the child is just four, because you're not dealing with government money and you're private. You can have a developmental kindergarten that are four, but most government programs will not let you enroll those four-year-olds. They don't want to give the money for them, at least last time I heard. Maybe the laws have changed, but nevertheless, you got to have a staff of people. You got to have a posse that works with you, because you cannot do everything by yourself. You must delegate. Just getting the keys to the building does not make you a school, and just getting the deed does not make you a school. There's other things that are incorporated with that, your bank account, whether or not you have your school's name on the bank account, your entity, your EIN number. Those are all vital things that must have, and you've got to understand that, because some business-minded person is going to ask you for it. Let's go to commercial. Working it. like that one. There was a new one on the board, trying to bring you in some new music, a little variety in the house. So how's everyone doing this evening? I hope you're doing fair to middling. I'm just fine. You need to flash up those phone lights at 760-539-3247. This is your illustrious Omiinka having a session with you this evening. And we are in the process of talking about setting up that private school, that black private school in our own black community. Yes, we know that in the major metropolitan areas, there is a need for new schools. The majority of our schools are being shut down. There's a hostile takeover with these private industries taking over these private school, well, these public school systems. And now we just have a scattering of a few schools left. And why is it that so many black communities are having their schools shut down for the purpose of having asbestos in a building that need to be removed, or old buildings that can't be refurbished and that takes a lot of money to renew them? Why do we have so many old schools? And why is the white community schools always functioning very well, don't need any maintenance, and they have the monies they want, and they're brand new, and they're not old like our schools? And have someone and the government forgotten about our public schools? And is this a plan for our schools to be failing so that private industries can walk right in and take over our black African-American schools in our community? And we once had the better schools because we had commitment from the black teachers to be there to teach our children. And they stayed in the community, and we got good tutelage and good training. We all knew how to read. And now we have teachers who don't care, and they're not putting their best face forward to help the child learn to read. They're saying, I got mine, now you got get yours. So what is happening to our community? Are we going to eventually phase out of having schools? And will it be a normal thing to talk about corporations and associations setting up new schools? Will this be the talk of the town? Or what must we do? We must have sessions like this where we talk about what is necessary, and then we must formalize parent resource centers. Let me talk to you about parent resource centers, parent. I know you've heard of them. They're called PTIs, and they're usually at least two in one state. But then they went further and created the parent resource centers. And the parent resource centers will allow you to set up shops that work with families of children with special needs. They will also allow you to be an assistive technology center where they offer technology tools to help those special needs children who need adaptations to manipulate typewriters and who need things for children who don't have arms or children who can't use their arms. This assistive technology is fairly new, but they are moving up in momentum, and the parents are requesting them. The parent can go to a resource center and get information on their child's disability. They can go to a resource center and look up the laws, regulations, on the codes for special needs children. What are these laws? What are they entitled to? They have quite a few entitlements when they've been deemed disabled, and they have differentiated learning. The parent can go to this resource center and go to webinars, go to workshops, learn from the specialists. They can also take field trips with their children. They can bring their children to the resource and referral center. And the parents in the Resource and Referral Center also work to help the community. They do visitations in the community to find those families who have not been addressed and tell them about the Resource Center and invite them there and leave them with a gift. So they actually are the committee that brings the gift to the family and invites them out to the Parent Resource Center. This is a valuable center, and I want you to really, really horn in on this one, because some of you who have worked as advocates can go and start your very own parent information center in your home. That's right. You can start your parent information center in the area of working with the CHAD chapter. I once had a parent information center that worked with the CHAD chapter, and you work with all these groups of mothers who have children that have attention deficit disorder, and you hold the meetings. And you have the board meetings, and you bring them together to talk about what it is or what it isn't that they have, they don't have for their children, and what they need. And then they solicit the resource center to go out and get it. It's a library. They can go there, and you have the welcome team that goes to the community to welcome those families into the community that might have special needs. Sometimes they go over to the hospital and welcome those mothers who have early intervention children with special needs. Now, the Resource and Referral Center is a 12-step procedure for setting up, but it's definitely necessary for those associations to connect with those parent resource center, because they're going to be your help in a time of trouble. They have statistics, they have documentation, and they have the laws and regulation that can tell you what you need in order to regulate the families with special needs. And it's very vital that you should understand you don't start a school without a support group. Your support group is going to help you determine your logistical need. What are the needs for that geographical area that you're located in? Is there a need for a private school? And are there children? Are there parents that are still in the baby booming stage and having children? Is there a need for a resource center in that area? Are there enough young mothers that are producing infants and toddlers? What are your needs for the kindergartner? What are your needs for the upper grades and for the elementary and secondary school? It's very vital that you take this statistic gathering very seriously, because it's going to help your marketing strategies so that you will know exactly what you have got to have in order to start this process. You don't want to start this process and be new on the block and not realize what's going on. Like the children say, don't act brand new. And that's how you'll be acting, is brand new, if you don't do your homework and find out what you have to have. Don't be the new kid on the block. Listen to this one, new on the block. Here we go. much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to The Sound of My Voice on the topic of what must we do to help associations to open a private school. We've given you some tidbits on this so that you can start off afresh and have before you a plan. You must have a plan in your agenda before you go out and say you're going to get the keys to a building. You must have these things laid out so that parents can support you and other organizations and associations can support you. You need to have the help of your community, making sure that you've logistically did a marketing strategy of what the needs are, a needs assessment, and then look at your finances to determine how much you must have in order to purchase a building. Should you rent or should you purchase? And what are the prerequisites for renting? And how can you get your team to go in to examine the building, to do an assessment so you are not caught with all of the repairs of the building? And you must have some sense about yourself, and that you don't know about, hire someone to bring them in with their expertise. And we'll be talking to you soon again about the process of setting up a business, a school in our community, and we'll be working it with you. You won't be alone. And thank you so much for joining you. For joining me, and I want you to know you're not alone out there, that we have volunteers, we have people that can assist you, and all you need to do is ask. We're helping you to work it, working it. Stay tuned for next time. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening, and we've had a grand time this evening working this out, trying to figure out what it is you need, helping you to come to a conclusion. And we are coming to a conclusion this evening, and we have ran out of time, and look up above for your help, because all of your help comes from above. Last song for the evening, Up Above. And that's all we have for you this evening, folks. We will see you again. We'll talk with you tomorrow. We are asking that you call in around 3 p.m. and listen to our featured show. Thank you so very much. And I'm sure that we will meet again and talk about this subject. And we're asking all of you teachers out there who actually are brand new at this to call in to our show tomorrow.